Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is the restructuring panel. My name is Peter Lee. I'm a lawyer from a law firm, Reed Smith. I'm not Deng Han or Greg Chase, which is listed in the statute, because both of them are now in New York trying to close transactions and cannot come. So I sort of step in last minute. So restructuring panel. Interestingly, I'm wondering, maybe next year or the 2 years down the road, are we still going to have a restructuring panel in conferences? I hope not, because if the market recovers. On the other hand, I looked at two members of today's panel, five of them bankers, one accountant, me lawyer, five of them are in the offshore industry. So that might be a little bit tricky. So how about if each of us spend a few minutes and introduce yourself, starting from Andreas?
Hello, is the mic on? Yes. Andreas Austin, I'm with DNB, based in Singapore, where I'm responsible for the shipping offshore and logistic activities in Asia. DNB, I guess it's known to many of you, it's a large bank incorporated in Norway, but also with a huge presence within shipping, offshore and logistics. We have offices in New York, London, in Athens and in Singapore, covering the shipping and offshore logistic market globally.
Yeah, hi. I'm Nils Kovdal from Standard Chartered Bank. We're a big bank in the region, and we're probably not most famous for our ship finance capabilities, but we are definitely quite active there as well. We've been doing ship finance now for around 10 years' time and built up a reasonable portfolio. We also have a leasing business. We currently own 55 vessels in our leasing portfolio.
Okay. Hi, the name is C.K. Quack. I run the ship finance franchise for Nordea in Asia through our office in Singapore. Nordea, we are one of the, we are one of the most active ship financiers in the world. We are active in most segments.
Hello everyone, my name is Daniel Yeo. I'm from Ernst & Young, Shanghai office, and I was in the assurance service. I'm the partner of the Ernst & Young, and the major industry focus is on the shipping industry, and also the container vessel lease.
Hi, my name is Shen Zhao with CSIC Leasing. We are the leasing arm under the CSIC Group, the largest state-owned shipbuilding group. And this firm is very new and is still in the starting up phase. We were established last year for the purpose of strengthening the financial sector of the group, also to support our yard to grabbing the new building orders in a very weak market. So far, we haven't closed a deal, so we are still looking at different deals, clients, to build our portfolio in the very soon. I think this company, though the name is leasing company, but we can do more than leasing structure. We can loan, we can extend the credit, we can also do the equity financing. It's a very flexible and promising company to work with.
Hi, my name is James Tong. I run the regional business for Citi, Asia Pacific and Japan, and I've been in the shipping industry since year 2000. So maybe we just kick off.
Thank you, James. A little bit of declaration of interest. I can't remember acting any of them. In fact, I act against many of them. Citibank, Standard Chartered, Nordea, DNB. There's a Chinese saying, hope some of the panelists will also know, that is blind people touching and describing an elephant. In these conferences, I always think it's a bit like that because the market is so big. People are talking about what an elephant's like, but a lot of us can only talk about our firsthand experience of the part of the elephant that we have ever touched, or secondhand experience by reading newspaper or hearing rumors and news from friends. So I prefer if you could speak about your own experience about restructuring, and restructuring could mean very different thing for different people. Some of the panelists actually come to me and told me that they are a bit ignorant about that, which I think is good news. It means that the banks do not come into any trouble. But if you think the shipping downturn started in 2008, so we are now the 9th years into a downturn. The idea of restructuring, to quote from a textbook, basically is to something went wrong, you try to turn around and make things viable. And a U.S. judge basically is making it viable for the company, giving it a certain briefing gap so that to provide a procedure by which debtors can reorder their affairs, make peace with their creditors, and enjoy a new opportunity in life with a clear field for future effort, unhampered by the pressure and discouragement of pre-existing debt. Now, but the problem we lawyer face is whenever I use the word restructuring or when I'm put on restructuring panel, some people panic. When I'm telling my ship owner client the words like Chapter 11, they panic. But and sometimes you can read from the news that the ship owner, the borrower, threatened to go to Chapter 11. They threaten the bank they may go to. Sometimes I find it so strange because Chapter 11 is just one of the ways to restructure. It's a tool. It's like a knife. Depending how you use it, it could be good. It could do harm. So I don't want to be posing any specific questions to the panelists for the moment. Maybe, what do you think is a restructuring? Speaking of your own experience over the last 9 years, starting with Andreas.
Can you repeat, please?
So, what does it mean to you in terms of what does it really mean to you, the word restructuring? Speaking of your own experience over the last 9 years.
Okay. From a shipping bank, we're very much long-term and relationship-oriented. And I think in the restructuring phase, you really have to test your relationship with your client. None of the restructurings are the same, but I think what is very important is that you strive to find a balanced solution. I think all stakeholders need to participate. It's not enough just to let the equity or the bond investors take the hit. It's important that it's a trust-based restructuring. It's a people business. And also, and this is probably the most important, is take action. You mentioned people don't want to go into Chapter 11 or another scheme, but not doing anything is also an action. And a lot of value can be preserved if the owner and the lenders take action early on.
News?
Yeah, I agree very much with what Andreas is saying here, and I think one of the key things in our industry, I mean, we're in this business for the long run, most of us, and when we do financing transactions, we do transactions for, you know, 8, 10, 12 years, so we all know that the industry is very cyclical, so to expect that you're going to run through those transactions without any hassle or going through a downturn, I think is probably overly optimistic. So I think you have to be prepared for it. One of the things to add on to what Andrea said is, you know, the key for restructuring to make it sensible and to get through it properly is to start early. And as Andrea said, you know, everyone has to bring something to the table, whether it's the banks or the owners or shareholders. There has to be a contribution from everyone. I do think the perception is often that the banks tend to be a little bit too aggressive. And I do think in that sense, as Peter indicated, that a tool like Chapter 11, which has been pretty easy now to obtain, is a good mechanism to threaten us banks and keep us a little bit in the rain.
Well, you asked what is restructuring. To us, a waiver of a breach in covenant, that's not restructuring. Like DNB and Standard, we're mostly a corporate lender. We're not in the project finance space at all. So, you know, if there's a problem, whether it's a short-term problem because there's a liquidity issue, or it's a more structural issue where the company might be over-leveraged, and then it's the question of the sponsor, whether the sponsor has the capacity and the willingness to work with the banks. And what's very important for us as a senior secured lenders is whether the hierarchy of debt is respected. And if the sponsor is willing and able to do something, then we are more than happy to work with them because we're in relationship lending. The trouble comes when you have owned something, you have owners who have the capacity but are not willing to do anything, and that might force the hand of the lenders.
And Daniel, speaking experience as a UI, a partner at UI.
Yeah, for the restriction to, based on my experience, because you want to restructure, you want to save something, or you want to change something, then a lot of company were encounter some shorter financial difficulties. And for these difficulties, maybe come from several reasons. One is the market reason, the market downturn, price decrease. Sometimes it was maybe the strategy, the company's own strategy has a problem. They have too much long-term investment and over-expansion. Also maybe has used not appropriate financing structure to their own business and investment. And for those, we think using restructuring as a tool that for all the parties, not only the debt, also the credit, all the parties work together to work out a very reasonable, appropriate recovery plan, and close monitor those recovery plans to achieve the result that to save the company, to overcome those short-term difficulties. And also I think one thing is very important in the restructuring, maybe from the company side, is the working capital management. For the working capital management, the company can save their own problem, be more liquidity, and have more cash on hand to do a lot of things, to focus on their operation. And also another benefit from restructuring, that for the company-wise, they can reduce their financial cost in some meanings. And also that will give the company another way to rebuild up their business and to turn around.
Okay. Johnson, you used to work for a bank as well, right? Before joining the leasing company.
Actually, we don't have much experience in restructuring because we Chinese money entered into the game at a very late stage, and maybe now we see it as a very good timing. So we do not have much experience in it. So here I can share with you just my general idea about the understanding of a restructuring. I think restructuring even the bankruptcy or insolvency proceedings are not bad things. It's good. Through restructuring, we can establish a long-term relationship with those qualified shipping players. Through bankruptcy, we can make the unqualified ship owners or speculators leave the market. It's good for the whole market. And it's just like domestic relationships. You cannot say the reconciliation or divorce proceedings are bad. It's the same thing, I think.
James?
Well, I totally agree with you that no one wants to see restructuring in the first place. But I think when it gets to restructuring, the important part is the survival instinct. If the owner doesn't want to keep it going, if the steering committee is too big, when they're not fighting for the same objective, then I think that would be a failure of the restructuring. I think important of all is to have, when it comes to restructuring, it has to be very open of what is being achieved. For sure, there will be haircuts for everyone, whether the company is worth saving or not. As simple as the recent case in Hanjin's situation, people would expect that, well, such a company would not be going through a restructuring, it should survive, but it did not. So it really, really depends on case-by-case basis. And personally, touch wood, I haven't got anything bad in my portfolio to restructure. Personally, I have experienced it for a client who appointed us as an advisor to do so. I think part of it because we were not involved, in fact, with any money in this particular company, and the other banks felt that they're more comfortable to deal with a third-party banks with the expertise in the industry, so that it will play safer to everyone. And the company itself does have substance in there. It just, a lot of time in shipping company will be over-investment during the bad time, and then people holding on to this asset for too long, not able to liquidate it, and then they've got liquidity issues. I think partially, if you see the situation in different cycle and your position, then you could start restructuring. But a lot of bankers might not want to go restructuring because if you go to Chapter 11, it could be last for years, and then you'll be going on and on. And bankers would like to have the bilateral discussion or to try to find a way to get this client not liquidate or find a way to sort it out themselves. I think that's the reason why Chapter 11 is such a dirty word.
Yeah.
And I really think that when it comes to shipping itself, you really need to understand the clients. If you're purely looking at asset, expecting that they would, if I take the ships, I could really sell the ship and recover, then most of the time when the problem is happening is during the bad time, the asset price will not be good enough. So long you prepare to hold on to the asset for long enough, and also it's costly to hold on to your ships. Millions of dollars of maintaining it. If you co-lay up the ships, gone, dead. If you warm lay up, you have to keep the engine going, pay for the maintenance. It's millions of dollars per year. So why bank would want to do that? So I think if people hoping that the bank would try to help them too, they need to help themselves in the first place.
Yes, that's right. Thank you very much, first of all, for Andreas for summarizing that, because this is very much what I think. My experience is also that the key is probably that all parties, all stakeholders to work together. Now that's the key issue that I've seen in the restructuring I've been going through. Number one, I agree with James and many of you that the ship owner himself or herself must have a will to survive first. I do see ship owners that lost their will or panic. But that's human nature, I would say. So the other thing is I do also see creditors, including my certain of my clients. They tell us that they have under table deal with the ship owner. I said, what do you mean under table? It means all the other creditors don't know about it. Now that would certainly break the trust if it's disclosed. On the other hand, I also have clients, they behaved very well. They intentionally to behave very well. They even asked for even tiny changes. They asked for approval and consent from the banks. I said, any reason? They said, well, they want to well behave themselves so that in difficult times, the bank would continue to trust them. Now, in all that, what do you think is the role of a financial advisor? People like professional restructuring advisors like ITF, FDI, like FDI or some other games in town, because I do find them useful, because a lot of these things will not be said by lawyers. They are like a bit like the way I look at it is like the CEO of a company with 10 shareholders. To convene a meeting, it takes a week. But if they're not cheap. Some borrowers, why do we need to hire them? We just talk to the bank directly. But I tend to think that they have a role to play in terms of bringing people together to the table or even giving practical suggestions. What do you think? What are your experience, Andreas?
Thank you. I think that's a very valid question. As we said, all restructurings are different, but I think there are some denominators. That is, they are time-consuming, very work-intensive, and they can also be very costly. When it goes to your question regarding advisors, I think that depends very much on the complexity of the debt of the company. We have experienced some restructurings where both the bond investors have the advisors, the bankers have the advisors, the management have the advisors, and even the owner has their own advisors. And is that value generating or is it not? And that's not so easy to answer. I think in the way that the company is very competent themselves to do a restructuring, and the complexity of the restructuring is not too high, I don't think necessarily a advisor is needed. But what we have seen is that many companies haven't had the restructuring capacity in-house, which has made it challenging for them to deal with the recent crisis. And then it's definitely important to have an advisor, but it could also be trusted people that you could have at different levels within the board or in the management and then among the lenders to facilitate the process that might have been stopping or not going as you wanted to develop. So my answer is a little bit inconclusive,
but that's very good news.
That's the best answer. easy to sit next to Andreas because I agree with everything he says. But it's of course complexity and the level of trust important factors. I think we've been through a couple of restructurings this year, and it's been very amicable. It's been working well with our clients, who we have very strong relationships with. Absolutely no need for bringing in external advisors. But the issue is, of course, as soon as that level of trust is lost, and as you talk, if there are deals that we're not aware of, then of course it becomes an absolute necessity, because you need to have someone on the other side that you trust is working in the best interest of all parties. So so I think that to me is the key for an advisor. Mm. And I do think they bring, we've been in restructurings where advisors have been present, and we have some very, very good people that does this work today, some really highly qualified people.
I've not had the opportunity to work with advisors who know the shipping industry well enough to add value. Our portfolio is pretty healthy, so there haven't been that many restructuring transactions that have been through. But in most instances, the company together with the lead bank, or sometimes with a small steering committee, usually we'll be able to find solution among ourselves. There are instances where, for more complex transaction, where the client has both secure and unsecured debt, and you have different stakeholders, different interest group, it might be beneficial to have an advisor, so to get everybody in line. But other than that, for those very large transactions, the introduction of a financial advisor hasn't helped the restructuring process at all.
I fully agree with what everyone says, but one more thing to add, because within our financial advisory help to help the creditor, to help the debtor to clearly know their business, to make an independent view, to review their business, where's the viability on the business. Not only the company thinks that I'm good, I'm okay, I just need more time, But with an independent financial advisor and with some independent view on the own business, on the current and prospective financial position review, and then can work out a very appropriate recovery plan on this company.
Okay. So I think the involvement of advisor in restructuring, I think it all depends on, first of all, I agree with that, the complexity of the debt itself. Also, I want to mention that it also depends on whether the shipping owner is worth of bailing out. If it is a hopeless owner, I think that the best way is not to involve an advisor into the restructuring process or even talk about a restructuring. It is the best approach for the financier to recover the debt and involve a lawyer to recover the debt to enforce the mortgage. It's the best way to do it. If the client is worth saving, then involvement of an advisor will be a very wise step to take.
To me, I think one important part of the financial advice is to take the emotion away from the equation. Ship owners are passionate people, and they're passionate about their industry and assets. I think that also shows that they have got instincts to survive. But having a financial advisor in that sense would help expedite with the bankers or to find a common solutions. From that perspective, I would support to have a financial advisors.
Yes, I agree, because I think Andreas mentioned that this time consuming and costly, the restructuring process, but I want to add that a lot of times it's very time sensitive as well. The company probably, they have the people or for the deals, they are only maybe 6 months at most to be restructured. And sometimes, Johnson mentioned about the independent view, and Andreas mentioned about balance. And when we are more on the borrower side, the borrower's mentality or the emotion sometimes will be, are you really here to save the company, or are you here to get more money out of it before I finally die? So with a well respected financial advisor, and then when the parties come together and talk about the financial model, the cash projection, there might be a more independent view, and that thing might actually also help the borrower, the ship owner, to take away the emotion from that discussion. Now, I'm not that old, so when I was young, it became household name to, and I'm from Hong Kong, to heard about the restructuring of shipping companies like Hua Kong or OOCL. Most people in Hong Kong, even not in the shipping industry, knew what went through. So those, I would say, successful cases. And in this downturn, first of all, are there any successful cases that you heard of, or in your book, in terms of the restructure you started over the last 9 years since the downturn? I mean, what is sort of the success rate? Because when I say success rate, because some people will say, oh, restructuring is just kicking the can down the road. So you're postponing the problem. And because when you talk about cash projection, you assume the market would be at a certain level, like in 5 years' time. But if that does not happen, you need another restructure. So how do you test that internally? Will you actually look at, if we could do that, that is a successful restructure. But you can almost never take away that question and put it in a vacuum away from the market situation. So it's a lot of times, I mean, internally within the bank, I mean, will you talk about that? Like, is it a successful restructure or not? Or how do you, what is the measurement? How do you guide, and what is that?
Thanks. I think it has definitely been successful restructurings, but it's depending a little bit, and I think the companies go through phases in this process. First, you might just contain and control your problems in the first stage, and
if you look a little bit generic on the offshore market, for instance, we are seeing a very big consolidation among the OSV players in the North Sea. And those companies have changed a bit. They're becoming new investors in. There's a new debt level. These companies might be open for more consolidation in the future as well, as the existing owners might have been diluted, and you don't really have this ownership maintain control of the ownership issue that is sometimes preventing these deals. But I think the companies that survive over time, they have really adjusted their debt level to the age profile of the assets, and not just kicking the can down the road and hoping for market recovery. So, but to what extent you manage to do a long-term solution immediately, or whether you have to go a couple of rounds before that happens, that I think is very individual from each company. Nils?
Yeah, thank you. Has there been successful restructuring? Absolutely. I mean, look at one of the companies that are here today, Starbulk, had a very, very successful restructuring, and all honor to them for what they did and their counterparties. They put extra money on the table, and they got the job done, and they were very efficient in the way they did it. So there's definitely successful restructuring, and there will be more of those. I think for us, in terms of when we look at it, and is it going to be successful, is it not? For me, there's one key word, two key words. It's financial runway. I mean, does the company have working capital to get through this, or if it doesn't have the working capital available now, will it be able to get the working capital to go through the tough period? And you asked us to talk a bit about our experience, and one of the things that I've found with some companies in particular is that owners have a tendency to be a little bit over optimistic on the markets. When they do their forecasts, they rather than focusing on the low case, they look at the high case or the base case. So, but really the key is to look at what is the worst case and how can I prepare myself for that. And if I don't have enough capital to get through that bottom case or low case, then how can I find that capital, and whether that is through using available facilities that you have with banks, as in revolving credit facilities, whether it's coming from selling vessels, raising capital from investors or capital markets, doesn't really matter, but you need to have a solution for getting that working capital in place. Yes, otherwise you do.
We have a little less than 1 minute, so maybe you can continue, but quickly.
I'll just build on what Nils has said. There's an issue, whether it's a liquidity issue, short-term liquidity issue, or there's a more deep-seated structural issue. So if you look at one of the shipping trusts in Singapore, listed in Singapore, it's completed restructuring some years back. It's created some runway for itself, but there's no new equity coming into the company. The container market remains weak, and now it's filing for bankruptcy. And you look at some of the restructuring done in Korea, one case in particular, Pan Ocean, the new shareholder brought in almost $1 billion in equity and debt. So they have completely deleveraged the company, and they have, through the court, they also washed out all the charter in books. So that's a more complete restructuring. They're not just creating a runway for itself, but it's a corporate restructuring.
Yeah. Just one more to add up. I was thinking for a good restructuring is the base was very important, what I mean the base is you need to know the company very well, you know, great understanding on the business, and not only for current, because as I said before that the short-term difficulty were caused by a lot of reasons. So if there was a financial structure, if there's only the over expansion, you'll find the reason and you overcome it. So earlier investigation on the reason and understand the business is very important.
And Johnson?
Okay. it's a time's up, so I will make it very short. I think the key factors for a successful restructuring is that you pick up the right person to save at the right timing and through the right approach.
James?
Expensive ship is always expensive. So when there is restructuring, that will be expensive. So if you're really willing to have haircut, that can always be saved, because at the end of the day, it's an asset that will come back up in the market value when the market is right. But then we have to look at the situation now, and then it's very different. I remember that we discussed it with Peter, because then 80s interest rate was really high. So that, I mean, at that time, not a lot of company can survive for long enough. Nowadays, the interest rate is very low. That means there are lots of zombie companies that are still going on. That is, in fact, kicking down the can down the alleyway. So Sanko is one of the examples. They went bankrupt in the 80s. We converted debt to equity. It survived. But it went bankrupt again a few years ago. So memories do carry on and on and on. That it will come back when you over invest at the wrong timing. That means expensive is always expensive.
Okay. Thank you all the panelists. I learned so much today. Thank you.